Ezra today with L. Ron Ferguson, and we're back for part two. So if you're just tuning into this and you haven't seen the podcast before it, go back and watch the podcast just before this, because we are getting into some really cool sales stuff. We're getting into how to sell your hypnotic services to clients, to new clients, how to get those new clients. And today I'm here with L. Ron Ferguson, who's just one of my favorite five pathers, one of my favorite people in general. He sees clients here in Tustin at the Banyan Hypnosis Center. He's just one of the best of the best. He works really hard and he's always working harder to learn more and more to help him be the best of the best. And he went through Cal's rigorous boot camp internship program just like I did. I think he was the last one in the program. Very excited to introduce him to you today. And it's L. Ron Ferguson.
Yay! Woo! Here he is!
I'm doing spirit hands right now.
Woo! Thanks, Meredith. And I'm sure y'all know who Meredith is. I mean, you've watched this show. And if you haven't watched this show, Meredith is awesome. And that rhymes with possum, by the way. And I love saying that. I've said it on last episodes, but Meredith, you really are awesome. I mean, it's funny because Meredith and I go through times when we don't talk for a while, you know, because we just get busy and wrapped up in our lives. But whenever we do talk, I'm always amazed at how excited I am to talk to somebody else who knows hypnosis as well as Meredith. I don't have many people that are as enthusiastic about hypnosis and know as much that I can actually talk to, that actually know what I'm talking about, as Meredith. And so Meredith is my ear to everything great about Five Path and hypnosis. And without her, I don't think I could have made it. So thanks, Meredith. Thanks for being awesome.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's my pleasure. Yes, we all need to have hypnosis family, don't we?
We do.
Yes, we do.
We really, really do. I mean, it's about collaboration, sharing ideas. There's something that happens when two minds come together. Robert Diltz, for all you NLP fans out there, he calls it the field mind. There's the cognitive mind in your own brain. There's the somatic mind, which is your body mind. And then there's the field mind, which is the connection that happens between two people. Not between two people, but sometimes it happens in a place or in a space. But when Meredith and I get together, I feel that field mind taking place, and new conversations, ideas, words come out of my mouth or maybe out of her mouth that may not have happened otherwise. And so it's very important to have somebody like that in your hypnosis life, wouldn't you say, Meredith?
Absolutely. Wouldn't get through it without it, that's for sure. Collegial atmosphere is so important, no question about it. And if you want to join part of our collegial atmosphere, Cal has another NGH certification hypnotherapy course coming up. It's the last one of the year. It is a 10-day course, and the dates are October 31st. You get to come in costume if you want. It's Halloween. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he'll require that, but it would be fun, wouldn't it? Way to start out the class, going October 31st to November 11th, and there's an early bird discount ending soon. So September 30th is the last and final discount cutoff, and there's $200 off if you sign up by then. If you look, if you're watching this podcast on calbanyan.com and you look just down there, there'll be links to be able to sign up for that course. Check that out. It's really amazing. I mean, I can't even tell you what a powerful experience it is. Absolutely. And before I go on, of course, you're watching this as the second podcast in a series of two, but L. Ron and I, a while back ago, did another podcast series, a two-part series, on how to answer client questions. And so you may also want to check that out. It's numbers 153 and 154, answers to common questions from potential clients. So that'll give you even more background. But today we're going to dig even deeper into some of this information about sales and how sales is a good word, and it's connecting with people with, you know, connecting people with the help that they really need. And we're really going to get into some nitty-gritty about that. L. Ron's going to share some thoughts, and so will I. And we're going to get into what qualifies your client, some questions to ask. We're also going to get into some of L. Ron's favorite objective handling techniques, how to clarify objections. And he's also going to get into some closing strategies. So, you know, how to end the call on a positive note. So let's dig right in, Elron. Why don't you go ahead and share some of this information you have for us about what qualifies your client?
Yeah, great. I mean, basically, when you're qualifying your client as to whether or not they can use your services, a lot of the times we do it over the phone. And over the phone, there are a lot of little messages that you can't pick up on because you can't see them. And so there's little trial closes that we want to do along the way to find out if they're qualified. Obviously, you can't just call up your client and say, hey, listen, how much money do you make? You know, as far as to qualify them for what they need for your services. That's what I mean by qualifying, by the way, is if they're qualified to even purchase what you have to offer. And this doesn't really apply in this business, but in other businesses like doing telesales or whatever, you don't want to waste too much time pitching to people that are never going to buy from you. But in this respect, qualifying isn't necessarily as important unless you're inundated with calls all the time. Sometimes that happens to me, and certainly you want to build good relationships to people that can afford your services because they might know somebody who can. But you also don't want to spend too much time with somebody who has absolutely no chance of coming to see you. So going through the back door and qualifying people is very important. And one of the most important ways to do that without them knowing they're being qualified is to ask them what they're using or what they've used in the past or any previous attempts to address this issue. Okay? And as soon as they tell you that, oh, well, I've done this and I've done this and I've done that, you know right away that they have the money to come and see you because they've already spent money in the past, depending on what they said. Anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
Yeah, you know, essentially, you know, I work out of LA, and my clients, most of the people who call me have tried all kinds of other things, and sometimes, you know, we call ourselves the witch doctor, and it absolutely is the best way to find out what they've tried. You know, maybe they've just been doing research online, maybe they've just bought some CDs, and they've been doing, you know, hypnosis through CDs, but that hasn't quite worked, so they want to really try one-on-one work, or maybe they have been to a series of different practitioners. And so it gives you a lot of information to know that, first of all, whether they can afford it, and secondly, you know, how motivated they are, and thirdly, how frustrated they are with everything that they've tried before. It's just so much valuable information to help you connect better with the client.
Absolutely. And, you know, when they tell you what they've used in the past, another thing that you want to do to not only qualify them, but to go back a step to our previous episode, what we talked about as far as identifying what their needs are so that you can position your product or service to make it more compelling, you ask them what they liked about that or how did that work out for you. And then you ask them, well, what they didn't like about it. Well, what was the problem? How come that didn't work for you? And you get them to talk about it a little bit more, have some good investigative questions to find out their likes and dislikes about whatever they did in the past. Or, you know, why do you think that worked for you? Whatever those are things that you can take, file away, and then put that into what you're going to talk about when you start to share the benefits of what it is that you do or what it is that you don't do. Does that make sense?
Absolute sense. And, you know, certainly when you find out what they've tried before, the last thing you want to do is put down other modalities. I've overheard people on the phone before. Certainly it hasn't been me, and it certainly hasn't been you, Elron, but I've overheard people on the phone before saying things like, oh yeah, that talk therapy, that never works, or, you know, these really kind of disparaging remarks about other things. That's not necessary. It, you know, all you're really wanting to find out is how motivated is this potential client, you know, whether they are able to afford your process, however you are packaging your process, and, you know, getting a little bit more background on the longevity of the issue.
You know, I love everything that you just said, Meredith, and I totally agree with that. I mean, whatever your client has done in the past, it's prepared them for what they're doing with you now today. And even if they're still continuing to see some other type of modality, no matter what it is, it can be an adjunct to what it is that you do. And when we're talking about uncovering what they liked and what they disliked, what we're doing is we're not necessarily going to, you know, say, oh, well, they were a bad job or whatever. But it is a chance for us to differentiate ourselves without necessarily insulting anyone else. And so when they say, oh, I didn't like this, you know, what you say is, well, what we do is this. Does that sound like something that is more your style? And they might say yes. And then you can proceed from there to continue building value. And when we're talking to people like this, it's kind of interesting because with a normal sales cycle, there's three reasons that people don't buy. And for us, one to two of them are usually out of the way already because number one is they don't need you. Number two, they don't believe you. Or three, they can't afford you. So they either don't need you, don't believe you, or can't afford you. And most of the time, we know that they need us. Otherwise, they wouldn't be calling. They usually call us. And that's great that that's out of the way. And so we just really have to struggle with whether or not they can afford us. Now, as soon as we have that out of the way, with the trial closed, when you say how much it is that you charge, you can ask them right there. You say, well, does that fit within your budget? Or if you already know it fits within their budget, don't ask them. Okay, because every once in a while you have somebody who this is their first chance addressing this issue. And so when you say, well, what have you tried in the past? They go, nothing. And in that case, you haven't necessarily qualified them unless that information has come up during the conversation when they're telling you about their issue. You might get an idea for that, but you say, does that fit within your budget? So as soon as we know that they can afford us, our main thing is whether or not they believe us. And in this case, it's very important to just talk about the value of what it is that you do, maybe how long you've been in business, maybe find out, and this goes to our last episode, how much they know about hypnosis already, to really educate them, give them a better idea about what it is that you do, so that they do believe that you can help them, and you highlight those benefits appropriately. And that, in and of itself, helps with every aspect of the sales process, especially the close. Anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting somebody who really doesn't know anything about hypnosis, and they're listening to everything that you have to say, and they still have the misperception that only a small percentage of the population can be hypnotized, they may not believe that you can really help them. And so it is important to give enough information so that you can overcome the most common misperceptions pretty quickly. You know, you don't want to spend a ton of your own time, and you don't want to spend a ton of their time either on the phone, but it's really important. You know, I always make sure to say, you know, have you been hypnotized before, to ask them that, and to make sure they understand anyone of normal intelligence can be hypnotized for therapeutic purposes. And it only takes a moment to make that clarification and, you know, to overcome those kinds of things that might stop a person from believing that you can help them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what do we say by not believe you? We want to find out what part do they not believe? Because sometimes they can afford you. They believe that you're a good person and want to help them. And they like all the benefits that you highlighted for them. But they just still don't believe in hypnosis. And so you don't want to spend too much time highlighting your benefits and building credibility when you could be talking about hypnosis. And this is another reason why writing down investigative questions is so, so important. Important as far as eliciting what level of information your client has about hypnosis or even about their own issue. Okay, so moving forward on to objections. Ooh, objections. And the typical objections that you'll get are, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I got to think it over, I got to talk about it with my spouse, I already tried it and it didn't work, blah, 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 blah. Now, there are different ways to handle all these objections. You might have your favorite answers to these objections, but this is my favorite technique. And it's along the lines of isolating the objection and some investigative selling, but no matter what they say, okay, Meredith, I'm going to just kind of role play with you. I'm going to spring this on you for a minute and say, oh, so So when would you like to book a session? And give me an objection, such as, I don't have the money.
Yeah, gosh, I don't know. Time's a little hard right now for me, so I don't think I can afford it.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to keep my job much longer. I am working right now, but it's questionable. I work for the school district, and they're cutting back.
Is that your only concern?
Yeah. I'd really like to try this, but money's really tight.
So other than not having the money right now, is there anything else preventing you from booking an appointment?
Well, you know, I guess I'm not sure it's going to work. And so if I'm going to invest the money, you know, it kind of feels like a big leap of faith.
Okay, so what just happened here? What I'm doing is I'm isolating the objection and I'm bringing about other objections. And so the pattern goes like this. They say an objection and you say, is that your only concern? And sometimes they say no. And then you get more information, you get more objections. This is good. You see, a lot of times people get an objection and they just stall. They go, like a deer out of the headlights. Don't lose momentum to objections, okay? A lot of the times when people say something, whatever they say isn't the real objection. They say, oh, I got to talk it over. But the truth is that, or I got to think it over. I got to talk about it with my wife. But the truth is that they just don't believe you. Or the truth might be that they don't have the money. Why do people do that? I don't know. I just know that that's what people do when they buy stuff. That's what I do. That's what I've done in the past. And you want to bring up those things are, as one, my sales professor said, he goes, you want to find out what those elephants are in the room and shoot them. And whenever they bring something up, you say, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, or I'm so glad that you brought that up. And this is exactly why that is. And just keep on going forward with whatever it is. And so let me just back up. The pattern goes like this. Whatever they say, you say, is that your only concern? And whatever they say, you say, well, tell me more about that. Is that your only concern? Tell me more about that. And then you let them talk for a while, and you say, other than blank, is there anything else preventing you from moving forward? And you can substitute the words moving forward for whatever you use in your business. I mean, that's what they do in like long sales cycle, and that's not what I use. It depends on who I'm talking to. Other than blank, is there anything else preventing you from moving forward? And then it brings the opportunity to talk about these things. Another way, and another pattern that you can use is, other than blank, do you have any other concerns? Or you can even make an assumption and say, well, other than blank, I'm sure you have some other concerns. Would you mind sharing those concerns with me? And this once again brings it into a conversation, because after all, anybody who sells ice to an Eskimo is a moron. We want to sell from a relationship standpoint. We want to sell them something that we believe they need. If you don't believe that they need it, do not sell your product or service. Don't sell them hypnosis services if you don't think it's going to work for them, because you wouldn't be doing them any good, you wouldn't be doing yourself any good, and you won't be in business very long. But these techniques are definitely ways to get more to the heart of the matter and find out, well, what it is. Well, what's their thinking process, right? Just like you saw with Meredith and myself a few moments earlier, it was also that she just wasn't convinced about the services on whether or not it could work. I'm just going to assume, for the cases of demonstration purposes only, that this client had the money, or they have the money, or they have a way to find the money that necessarily wouldn't be too difficult, and they just really weren't sure about the hypnosis component. And I'm just going to make another assumption that they were motivated and everything else from earlier in the conversation, but they just weren't quite sure about the hypnosis. And it's this kind of client that we can absolutely still have come see us and have fantastic results with them, because they are fed up with their issue. They've had it long enough. They do have the money. But honestly, like sometimes when people really don't have the money, and I know that's what it is, I say, listen, you know, if now's not a good time for you, it's better to wait. Because we don't want to start some that we can't finish. And this I really owe to Maureen for this is, you know, you have to take it away. As well as know when it's not a right time, because sometimes they don't have the money and then they just quit on you before the process is complete, because these competing needs start to take place within the subconscious mind. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
So much. I mean, you just covered so much. There's so much great stuff here. But, you know, yeah, you, this is really one of those instinctual things that we have to decide in the moment, you know, is this an opportunity to overcome the objection, or is this an opportunity to just do the takeaway and say, I understand completely, you know, I've been there too. Obviously, you know, this issue is important, or you wouldn't have sought out help for it, and I would love to help you with it, and I believe that I can, but the timing has to be right for you. And so I'm here. I'll be here for you when the timing is right. Just know you can reach out to me anytime. And if any further questions come up, feel free to call me. And, you know, just having that kind of that warmth and that understanding attitude, and that, you know, that you're taking it away, but you're doing it in a kind, diplomatic, caring way, you know, it will help to further connect them with you. And even if they don't come back to you, I've had situations where this kind of person has sent other people to me because they were so impressed by the way that I handled their interaction on the phone.
Yeah, and that's another reason why trust and rapport is the most important thing. And I don't know if I talked about this in the last episode, but when you're selling intangibles, something you can't touch, okay, your service is intangible. It's even more important, excuse me, that your client likes you, okay, that you establish that human bond. That is so, so important, because you're not selling the product, you're selling you. And when they like you, when they trust you, and when you're just honest with them and you tell them, hey, listen, you know, if you have any more questions, give me a call, then that right there will make the difference between them going to see somebody else and coming to see you. And so, you know, when they say, oh, well, I want to talk about it with my wife. Once again, use that pattern. Other than talking about it with your wife, is there any other concerns that you have? They say no. I say, okay, well, if she says yes, would you like to, are you going to call me back? They say, yeah. I go, oh, well, I look forward to working with you. Okay, that doesn't always work. But whatever it is, you know, you have a foundation about a way to deal with that. You want to solve the problem. Whatever it is, it's an objection, that it's a problem that they have in their mind. You want to help them solve that problem. Maybe they want to talk about it with their wife, and you say, well, you know, what do you need to, what would you like to talk about it with her for? Is it, you know, do you need approval for the money? Or does she know? Sometimes you want to say, does she know anything about hypnosis? And then you give them the invitation and say, well, listen, I just want to let you know, if she has any questions about hypnosis, I'd be glad to talk to her as well. Because a lot of the time, people really want to come see you, but they really have to get the other decision maker's approval. And you want to do whatever you can to make sure that they're on your side as well, or that you can give them the tools or the information so that they can sell them coming to see hypnosis to their wife or their spouse, whatever the case may be, so that they can have what you think is going to help them most. Okay, how much time do we have, Meredith?
Well, we're pretty much out, but I want to, you know, we definitely have a couple more things to cover, and I want to ask you, is there ever a time when you would say, well, you know, why don't you just commit to doing, you know, a process takes approximately this many sessions, but why don't you just kind of come in for either one or two sessions, if, you know, kind of they're tentative because they're not sure they fully trust hypnosis, or they don't fully trust you, you know, and money might even be questionable. They're not sure they have the money, but they're not sure they really want to invest that much in a question mark. Would there ever be a time that you do that, Elron?
Well, you know, it all depends. It all depends on their level of commitment and their level of motivation, and what I think those are through conversation and through profiling that client. If they're a person that's really on the fence about whether or not they think that they want to work on it, or they kind of want me to do it, I don't just see them for one or two sessions. But if they're if they just kind of need more convincing that it's something that might work for them, then every once in a blue moon I will tell them, not that they can come see me once or twice, but I'll say, well, listen, you know, you're not chained to the chair at any time. Okay, you can always leave. Because what I do is I sell my sessions in a package. And I say, well, listen, sometimes they feel like coming to see you is a risk. And so I remove the risk. I say, well, you can stop at any time. And they go, oh, okay. And that's all they needed to hear. Okay. But if I think that they aren't committed or whatever, I say, this is like seeing a chiropractor. You don't just get one adjustment and then you're better. You want to have one adjustment, and then we want to make sure that the muscles and the nervous system and everything can actually hold that adjustment in place. We're going for that long-term change. And so, yeah, this is what I think you need. I think you need to commit to the process. It's a process. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. There's not a lot of one-session wonders in the business, but I'd like you to commit to the process. But keep in mind, you're not chained to the chair. And sometimes that's all they need to know. They just so that they have that freedom within their mind that they can stop at any time. And a lot of those people I've had stay with me, most of them. But you definitely want to weed out your people that are just coming to try it out. Okay, that's what I think about that.
That's a perfect rendition of how to handle that. We definitely want to cover some of those positive charge and negative charge statements, and then any of the closing strategies that you have.
Okay, let's do this real quick.
Okay.
Well, the closing strategies, what we always do is we go with the assumptive close, the pre-frame, and the alternate advance. Okay, the pre-frame is what you want to do at the beginning of the conversation and say, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about my services, ask you a few questions, and I'll give you the information that you need to use my services or not. Does that sound fair? And that will preframe it right there so that they can give you a yes or a no and not a maybe. Okay? And it's like kind of an upfront contract. Everything is the close. Everything is the close. The close should happen by itself if you build value in your services properly. And that's my opinion on closing strategies. I could talk forever about closing and different closes to use, but I'm only going to get into a couple. There's the assumptive close, which is, how soon would you like to take care of this? Okay, I got that from Maureen, which is great. And there's also and then you're silent. The most important thing with closing is not talking past the close. You say that word, how soon do you want to take care of this? And then you're silent. Or you say, well, how do you feel about making an appointment next week? And then you're silent. And that's a close. You just ask for it. And then you say, well, mornings or afternoons, what works better for you? That's an alternate advance close. All right? Is there anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
No, I'm going to let you just keep on going. You're
okay.
Doing a great job.
So, instead of saying the word cost, what my sessions cost. Cost is a negatively charged word. You want to say, sessions with me are available for, and then you give the price. So use the word available, or sessions are offered at, well, I offer my sessions for, and then you say whatever you offer your sessions for, or whether they're available for. You want to stay away from the word down payment or payment, and maybe use the word installment. Okay, or deposit, installment, deposit. All right, well, you can make payments in two installments of $400, or you can put a deposit of $400. I always use installment, that's better. Instead of using the word contract, you want to say paperwork or agreement. Instead of asking them to sign things, you use the word endorsement. Or can you just okay this paperwork for me? Because once again, this removes the risk. These words have been negatively charged through years and years and years of bad selling. There's nothing wrong with these words. It's just the general American public association with these words puts red flags, puts hackles on people's back, and makes them feel uncomfortable, even at a subconscious level. Okay, we always say don't judge a book by its cover, but subconsciously, these words are negatively charged. We want to maybe stay away from them. Instead of saying the word sell or sold, you might want to say consulted or assisted. All right, one or two more. Instead of using the word deal, like, well, listen, I got a special deal going on. Who makes deals? Used car salesmen make deals. We're hypnotists. We're practitioners. We're professional. We don't give people deals, but we do give people special offers or special incentives. Okay? Once again, instead of saying used, you say pre-owned. This is just the sign of the times right here. These are things that help position you in a light that is non-threatening, because we're not threatening. We want to help people make decisions that we think are good for them. Right? And one more. Let's see. Is there any more? I have them all written down. I love these negatively charged words to using positively charged words instead. This is just something that I find absolutely fascinating. If there's any other words that any of you out there can add to that list, or you think are negatively charged words you could add to positively charged words that have to do with selling hypnosis services or talking about oneself, email those to me or talk about them amongst each other. Maybe post them down below. I'd love to know what they are. Those are the few words that I thought were relevant to our profession that I like to share. And so, is there anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
Nope, and we are completely out of time. So I just want to thank you, L. Ron, for all of this wonderful information. I mean, how does it get any better than this? All of this great, great experience and learnings and all of this stuff that you have picked up along the way that you continue to reach for as you better yourself. And thank you so much for sharing all of it with us. I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, wrap this up, and then I'll let you sign off yourself. Please, please, if you have any questions, anything you didn't understand from this or the previous podcasts, anything at all, we want to hear your comments, your questions, your feedback. If you're not watching this on calbanion.com, you can go there, and any of the things that we've mentioned, any of the links to other podcasts are going to be right down there. It makes it really an easy way to watch these podcasts, and you can even post feedback and questions and comments right down there. There's an interface to allow you to do that, and that's one of the very first places I check before I go into the next podcast filming. And you can also email me directly at meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. And you know, you can also post it on the Ask Cal group on our Hypnospace. It's important we create community, and that's a great place for us to have community. Our Hypnospace is our own social networking site, so definitely join it if you haven't already. Thank you so much. And by the way, if you can't make the NGH Hypnotherapy Certification course October 31st to November 11th, we have another one coming up in March 5th through the 16th. And there are early bird specials running for that. There's the 3-month advance discount of $600, 2 month of $400, and 1 month of $200 off. So that's amazing. You can either do that in person, or you can do it through webcast, which is really fantastic. So thank you so much, L. Ron, for all of your insight. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
Oh, wow, Meredith. That sounded like a great deal. I mean, special offer. I've really enjoyed doing this podcast. That's just the tip of the iceberg. More to come later, perhaps in another form, in another way. If you have any way that you want to connect with me, any questions, suggestions, discoveries, ideas, or complaints, feel free to give me an email at lronhypnosis@gmail.com right down there below. Thank you so much. Thanks for watching this episode. I know it's been long, but hopefully it's been worth it. And we'll see you next time. L. Ron Ferguson signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.